This is the Ask Amberly Show. This episode is brought to you in part by Manicure Magazine. I'm so excited. This is my brand new publication that I created, which contains personal anecdotes and information for what works, what doesn't work, and why. It's also just another fun way to support you along your journey. You can read it, order an autographed hard copy to be shipped to you, and find a comprehensive list of pickup locations around Louisiana, Austin, Texas, and 30A, Florida at our website, manicuremagazine.com. If you own a business and would like to advertise in the upcoming issue or serve as a pickup location, even if you're out of state, please email info@manicuremagazine.com or go to our website at manicuremagazine.com. For updates and more information, you can follow us on Instagram at manicure.magazineofficial. If you'd like to support a small business by gifting an advertisement space to them, you can purchase a gift card at manicuremagazine.com. Thank you so much for your support, and I hope that you enjoy this episode.
Welcome to the Ask Amberly Show, where everybody is the host.
Thank you for having me.
Oh my gosh, it's a pleasure. Today, I'm your host, and my name is Katie Rose McConnell. Where to begin?
I know.
The first time I remember meeting you was at Bar Mary Lou. I don't know how many moons ago.
I think it was 2019.
Yeah. And immediately, I just wanted to touch your hair. I think you knew that because I kept looking at your hair. I think I asked you if it was real. And you said yes. Yeah. And then I really wanted to touch your hair.
That's so funny.
I did not know then what I know now about you and your gifts and your skills and your vocation and what you've dedicated your whole life to.
Yeah.
And so, and then eventually we started having sessions together. And I remember going into the first one, we sat at the lakefront. I brought a notebook. So I was like, I'm going to write down everything she says. And what was so wild about it is I didn't really have to write down much because you said so many things that I still like ruminate on, that I'm still like, oh, she said that thing. And the whole experience was wildly powerful. And I've recommended so many people spend some time with you. And now we're here and I'm like your groupie and I follow you on tour. I'm like hollering from the back, like, I love Amberly. So yeah, I'm a huge advocate of yours. My husband has done sessions with you and we both will just be like sitting around like, oh, well, remember Amberly said that thing. And so, you know, or we'll be sitting and talking to each other. What would Amberly say about this? So now I get to ask you all these questions that I have been hanging on to for years.
Oh my God. I'm so ready now.
I mean, some of these might be a little beneath you, a little elementary, but I know that you'll just humor me.
No, I'm excited about it. And thank you for saying all those sweet things.
But like, what is it like to be you? Like when you're like tuned in, when you're wired in, is that the same thing? I'm assuming it's not. Is it the same thing as like being a good listener and being empathetic? Or is it really, I can feel what you're feeling? Or more like a, I can observe from over here what you're feeling. Like, is there any kind of boundary when you're in a session with somebody and you're you're in it and you're doing it? Are you an extension of them in a way? Like, can you feel what they're feeling?
Yeah, because I'm also a medium. So I take it on in a session, especially because someone's giving me permission to probe. So otherwise, I can't violate someone's boundary and just kind of like poke around and stuff.
Is that because you choose not to or because you literally can't? If someone does not invite you in, you can't cross that threshold?
I can to
but
a degree.
You wouldn't.
But no, I
ethically.
Don't. Yeah. I just, it's like, think about it on like a physical level. I can touch you.
True.
Do I want to at a restaurant? Like in front, like not really, you know, like I love you, but like.
You mean like I shouldn't just reach out and touch your hair?
Right.
No, not appropriate.
But everyone does
just
that.
Met somebody. Keep your hands to yourself.
Right.
You're right.
But if you invite me to like sit on your lap or whatever, you know, that's a totally different experience where it's like, okay, now you can like stroke my hair or whatever it is. So
yeah,
it's kind of like that. If you look at it on like a physical level, that's how I would liken it to that. So, but if, yeah, we're in a session, I do I will feel it in my own body as if I experienced whatever that thing is that you're talking about. Wow. And that's like very, it's like high octane in my nervous system.
Yeah. So I remember in our first session, mm-hmm. I asked you a question about my mom, and you shared with me, and you kind of cut yourself off. You were like, by the way, she's letting me in right now. Mm-hmm. And that has stuck with me. Like, what does that even mean? Does mom know? If I see mom now tomorrow, I'm like, do you know Amberlee was, you know, like, does she, when you say someone's letting me in, are they even aware?
No, typically not. We're all multidimensional. So we have different levels and layers to us. Like the part of you that you experience in your dream state that like has an understanding of things outside of the physical realm, that part of you is what I'm tuning into mm-hmm. when I say like, oh, your mom's giving me access to mm-hmm. her energy field right now. Like I can feel that. It's very subtle, but I can feel the difference between someone who's like I can't get a read on, they're not letting me in, versus someone who's like, yeah, this will help my daughter in whatever session she needs, like pull that from my energy field to help her with whatever this healing process is.
So there is a level of awareness. It's just very much.
Yes. It's like the part of you that's in a dreamlike state
yeah.
that can have that conversation still with me.
So what is sleeping like for you? Like we talked about what your day can be like. What is your dream state like?
God. Okay. Well, okay. So it's gotten better.
Okay.
But we'll start out with that. But yeah, I think when I first, but actually this was a catalyst to bringing me into energy work is because before I got involved in energy work, I was having out of body experiences, which sounds crazy. Woo woo.
Yeah.
I didn't believe in it. I was like, okay, people just think they have out of body experiences. So I had one day or one night. So it was very scary, especially for someone who was so science-based at the time. Mm-hmm. I was like, if it's not in a spreadsheet or research study, it doesn't exist. So I really felt like I was going crazy because yeah. I was like, this is not okay. But I knew inside I'm not crazy.
Right.
It's not a hallucination. My question, how is that possible? That's why I got into energy because yeah. I'm like, there's clearly an answer for this.
Do you feel you know the answer today now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You
yeah,
can
yeah.
like explain this.
Yeah. So, but yeah, what I'm essentially doing, I'm matching a frequency. That's all it is. It's like Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. You're just matching a pattern of frequency and focusing your energy there, which everyone can do this.
That was going to be my next question.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you special? Are you special? Can everybody do this? How can we be more like you? Is it better? Is this going to help us be better humans? Is there like a benefit to this?
Yeah.
Or are we better just staying in one realm and only minimizing the damage we do here?
Okay. So if you had asked me that years ago, I would have automatically been like, it's so much better to like be multidimensional and all these things. But the nature of the world today is so different, vastly different than even like 4 or 5 years ago. It's so different. The patterns of energy that are present on the earth are vastly different than like 5 years ago.
Really?
Yes. So before I would have said, oh, let's elevate, let's all go into, you know, spiritual oneness and whatever. Mm-hmm. We already know what the experience is of being a spiritual being. The fascinating part for us is what it's like to be human. So on a soul level, we're more curious about how do you just like enjoy Doritos on a boat with people drinking champagne? Like, what is that like? That's so interesting on a soul level, where people who are, you know, quote unquote spiritual think that that's bad and wrong. And like, no, you have to like just focus on, you know, elevating and integrating and all those things. And yes, there's a way to do it, but on a human scale too. Like, one of the most spiritual things you can do is dropping your judgment about life mm-hmm. or people in general. And it's judgment is really just what's going on inside of you mm-hmm. about whatever that person's doing. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with that person, really.
Yeah.
It's like the judgment comes up inside of you. So you have the power to shift it. So one of the most like spiritual things you can do is
dropping that judgment. That is integration. You don't have to like sit on top of Mount Shasta and pray all day. You can do that too. That's another experience. But it's, so I would say what's better or worse, there's not really a better or worse in my mind, but I think one of the benefits of being human is like trying to actually be human and enjoying a human experience, still recognizing your spiritual nature.
What a nice balance to be able to achieve that.
Yeah.
I think for a lot of people, just being present is so hard. And that kind of leads me to another line of questioning, although like you've said a million things now that I'm like, oh, but this and this and this.
Yeah.
But like our generation in particular,
we were
raised on like 4.5 GPAs and go to college and then also go to more college and get a master's and get a doctorate and achieve and pursue and get all these badges of honor.
Right.
And even now we like worship the hustle and the grind. Mm-hmm. But is that really what we're supposed to be focused on? Because recently, when we were talking recently, you were sharing that the whole purpose is just to hit this natural vibration that is in resonance with what you were created for, and nothing more.
Right.
It's really not about all these badges that we inflict on ourselves. But now I'm in my late 30s. I've done all the things. The resume is stacked. But I'm sort of too functional. Like there has to be a to-do list or I don't know what to do with myself. How can I just sit on a boat, eat Doritos and have champagne without running through the to-do list in my mind of what has to happen tomorrow and next week?
Yeah.
And I think now there is sort of beginning to have this shift back to that's not living. That's not healthy. The cortisol is now killing us.
Exactly. Right.
You know, so just sit on the boat and eat the Doritos and just do that and just be there.
Right.
But why is that so hard for us?
It's your relationship to everything. It's not about the Doritos or the champagne and being on a boat. It's your relationship with those things. So if those are the things that bring in a feeling state of letting go for you and being present, then great. It might look like doing work for somebody else. That might be one of the most relaxing things for them because they're being creative and really enjoying it. So it's your relationship with everything. And I think our generation needs to look at our relationship with social media, our post. Are we doing it for likes? Is there a void going on? So in this constant need to work and perform and achieve, are you doing it for yourself or are you doing it because it's a program that you picked up along the way? Because this is the way, you know, you're going to do this, you're going to get into college, you're going to have a job, you're going to achieve. And then you're sitting here thinking, well, what have I done for myself? Like truly for myself.
Yeah.
And I think if you have that intrinsic connection to whatever it is you're doing, that starts mitigating that feeling of, I got to do a to-do list. I got to do this. I got to do that. There are things that you want to obviously do in your day or maybe have to do. But for the most part, you want to bring in more connection and more foster a relationship of that intrinsic connection towards whatever it is that you are in relation with.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to ask you about beliefs and reality.
Yeah.
Kind of that like endless cycle in my mind of, do I believe it because it's real or is it real because I believe it? And so like, especially with food, because I remember when you were talking recently in one of your talks about your food is whatever you're assigning to it. It's good for you because you say it is, bad for you because it's not. So a year ago, I find out I've got Hashimoto's thyroid disease.
A quick interruption while we're on the topic of thyroid health. Something that drastically helps with the parathyroid glands is vitamin K. Vitamin K helps to put calcium into hard tissues like bones and teeth and pulls it out of the soft tissues like arteries and glands that help prevent arterial calcification, osteoporosis, dental cavities, and other issues. My favorite brand, which I personally use and have seen the best results with, is Mitolife Purely K. Another great supplement they have that targets the thyroid is desiccated oysters. Oysters contain naturally occurring selenium, copper, zinc, B12, and iodine, all of which are perfect for supporting thyroid health. Go to mitolife.com MITOLIFE.com and use my code Dr. Carter for a discount. Now back to the show.
My thyroid has always been kind of tricky, but now it's like full blown all over. And so I've learned from my doctor, like, it's all like inflammatory responses. So gluten can kick it up and dairy can kick it up. So now I don't eat gluten anymore. Mm-hmm. And my migraines have gone away. Migraines I've had my whole life, I don't have anymore.
Wow.
If I eat gluten, they will come back.
Right.
Is that because now I've assigned my migraines to gluten? Or is there like a physical reaction that does happen when I consume it, but someone next to me can eat it, no problem?
Yes. So there are a lot of things that go into that. So it could be that you're deficient in an enzyme that breaks down gluten, which there are enzymes that break down gluten. That's a physical level thing. But what is informing your body to not create that enzyme? That's those belief systems. So Hashimoto's is autoimmunity. All the autoimmunity disorders out there, 70 to 80% of them are women instead of men. Why is that though?
Because we've got so much going on and self-inflicted and we're not.
It's because our culture has catered to masculine energy. The expression of masculine energy is more accepted because capitalism and business, the nature of that is masculine energy. Regardless of gender, the energies itself, masculine versus feminine. Masculine is doing, action, you know, aggression, all those things are more accepted versus being and relaxing and safety and all those things that women have or are flag bearers for typically. So when women tend to be the more emotional ones, that gets suppressed in our culture. We're not allowed to express those feelings, those thoughts, those emotions. And so the autoimmunity, your immune system is supposed to bring in the good stuff and keep out the bad stuff. Your emotions, you're supposed to express all of it. But if you're keeping in the bad stuff, you're telling your immune system, let me let in these toxins and let it attack my nervous system or my thyroid or whatever it is. The thyroid is the seat of expression. So it's like twofold. It's an expression that's getting suppressed. So the autoimmunity is the repression and the suppression of those feelings, thoughts, and emotions.
So I need to let it all out.
Yeah, that would be great.
And then, and yeah, that programming has been set since childhood for me. Like being told, like, that's kind of something you should keep to yourself, sweetie. Like the don't disrupt anyone else's peace. Make sure you keep it cute, keep it polite.
Right.
Put a smile on, make them laugh. And that's still something I'm like, but is that what human beings do?
Well, apparently it's what our culture does.
It's what we do.
But no, journaling is something that's helpful. You know, writing out your feelings if you feel like you're still not comfortable with expressing them. Autoimmune patients in general, but typically like ALS, is their inability to say no to people.
Oh.
Like they cannot say no. And it's really nice people.
Yeah.
But are they nice because they're genuine, or are they nice because they've learned to suppress?
Yeah. Or because they're afraid of what would happen if they're not nice.
Yeah, they would lose that attachment and connection to
people
outside of themselves. That's the fear. So
that is the fear.
Yeah.
Whether it's real or not, the fear is like the driver.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And we pick up on all these things from childhood that we just keep repeating over and over and over again in our lives. And it's working on expressing your authenticity and using tools to do that, to start allowing your organ systems start operating efficiently and your immune system getting back up to par by teaching it. It's safe to express. It's safe to get these emotions and these feelings and thoughts out of you by working with journaling or body work. It could be exercise. It could be anything that is helping you express.
Yeah.
That's going to help that situation.
Yeah. And a lot of times, like, for people who've never had boundaries before or not firm boundaries, it is so scary to set that boundary.
Yeah.
But then when you find, like, it is safer to do that, You get more comfortable doing it and enforcing it, and then you kind of feel yourself breathe a little deeper that, like, mm-hmm. I did that, and it wasn't as scary as I thought it was going to be.
Right.
And in so many directions of my life where I've tried to, like, okay, we're going to do a boundary now. Mm-hmm. And I get so nervous and worked up about it, but then, like, no one cares. Okay, it's a boundary. Right. Like, it gets respected or tested.
Right.
But I feel a little stronger just having named that I want a boundary here. And so I feel, like, relief in that.
Well, but you're giving yourself permission and dropping your judgment around all of it. You're not judging yourself, like, well, what are people going to say or do if I say this or put in that boundary?
They're going to think I'm mean.
If that's mean by, like, stating what your boundary is, that's not mean.
Right.
But we've been programmed
to think,
well, like, their need for me to do this thing is more important than my my need or my body.
Right.
And that's teaching your body over and over again your body's signals and what it needs and the nourishment and the nutrients and the enzymes don't matter.
Yeah.
So then you're stuck with not being able to, like, absorb and pull in things that are even good and nourishing and joyful.
Because you're actively disassociating from your own experience right now. Like, this is painful and uncomfortable, but they matter more.
Right.
So I'm going to exist in this way and I will detach from this feeling, which maybe protected us from pain at some point, but that's not, we're not meant to have that armor on every day, all day.
Right.
And still be able to connect.
Mm-hmm. Because we're creator beings. You know, we say that we're, like, consumers, but we're really first and foremost creators and producers of things.
And we want to show you. We want your applause, too. Like, we're very social.
Yeah.
I made this thing and I loved it, but I would love it even more if you love it, too.
Right. Right.
And so funny. That's just me, like, as an artist who makes work that people purchase.
Right.
I hope you love it too, because now we both love it and I made it, so I'm proud of it.
But I think the challenge is, can you make something for no purpose other than just to express? That's one of the hardest things for people, especially in our culture, to just create and produce
for the
sake of it. So, well, we live in a bipolar system, meaning, like, right, wrong, good, bad.
Yeah.
Like, we're working with two poles, positive and negative, like a battery. You're working with those poles. We're wired for this is good, this is bad. You're getting closer to health, you're getting closer to destruction. So, but in reality, everything is neutral. If you go, like, to the highest energetic level, everything is neutral. It's what your experience of something, like this water bottle, you know?
Yeah.
I could have had a horrible experience with and have, like, a phobia of that or whatever. The water bottle didn't do anything to me. Like, it's neutral. It's just there.
Yeah.
But my experience of that water bottle could be entirely different from your experience of it.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
I am for my own life.
Yeah.
Are you right? You are for your own life. It doesn't make me wrong if you're right.
Yeah.
Both can be true at the same time.
Yeah.
But also neither are true. It's neutral.
Gosh. True. Okay. Great. Glad you cleared that up. Like, can you tell the future?
Okay. So
9 things could happen today.
Yeah. So there are, like, potentials. Everyone has the capability of, like, quantum leaping. So meaning you have, say you're playing the piano and you have, like, key notes that are next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Typically you're going to hit the notes right here if you're focused on these notes or these keys. But you have keys over here, too. You have the right to go boom and go all the way to the end of the piano if you want to.
Yeah.
It might not sound remotely the same as the keys over here. It's going to look so different. So you can quantum leap in that way. Like, you can be on these timelines. Like, okay, these are the 10 keys that are closest to these notes that you're hitting that are in resonance with one another. So the potential is extremely high that you're going to choose these, but you have a right to completely flip and go like that to a different reality, a different experience, a different expression. So whenever I'm quote unquote reading the future or psychic ability or whatever, it's never a 100% guarantee for anyone. It's always, these are the strongest potentials of where you're at right now today, what you're pulsing out, what you're vibrating, and all the energy you're pulsing, the patterns you have, the programs you have, But that's not to say you might have an amazing experience that, or like witness a miracle mm-hmm. that changes your whole definition of what reality is. And then you go and flip a switch and now you're pulsing completely new patterns yeah. because your belief changed.
Yeah.
The belief is what's driving those energetic patterns to start pulsing out. So if you can change your belief quickly,
yeah,
that can look like a quantum leap or a miracle mm-hmm. or something that didn't take time to get to the key notes down here.
Yeah.
Like you can take time and that's great. But if you quantum leap, like if there's a spontaneous healing, it's just a rapid change of belief systems. That looks like a miracle.
Yeah.
But if you have, like, since we're Catholic, we'll go with that theme. If you have a bunch of people praying over you, or if you go to Medjugorje yeah. or a place that is pulsing a resonance of an A note, boom, 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 and you're playing out a D note.
Yeah.
If the A note is stronger, the pulsing out is stronger than the D note, your D note will atrophy and weaken and you will adapt to the A note.
Mm-hmm.
That looks like the miracle.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be, if everyone is praying around you, thinking the same exact thought and the intention and the belief and pulsing that out into your energy field, you have a greater chance of picking up on that new frequency and then have that miracle happen.
Yeah.
So it's, yes, it's a miracle, but it's because it didn't take time to get there.
Uh-huh.
That's why we're like, oh my God, it's a miracle. It's like,
I'm so shocked by that.
Right.
Yeah.
But it scientifically, you can do that. Like there's, if you just change the frequency quickly with the, all the patterns that go along with it, that's what the miracle is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
These questions are good.
Okay. I do this right. all the time when there's like mm-hmm. distract myself, even if I don't feel happy, at least I'm not thinking about feeling pain.
Right.
And when we mm-hmm. teach that to our kids, we're just crippling them. Mm-hmm. If they don't know what to do with feeling anxious or uncomfortable or disappointed,
mm-hmm.
something makes them sad. Oh, but think about this. Go look at this pretty mm-hmm. thing over here that right. you're so good at and great at and shine right. at. Don't look at the bad stuff. Don't look at the hard stuff.
Well, it's we teach them to suppress.
Totally.
Because we're uncomfortable.
And then they're going to get Hashimoto's.
Right. But if we're uncomfortable yeah. with their expression, yeah. they don't know yet how to suppress.
Right.
We're programming them.
Yeah.
That's not allowed because I'm uncomfortable now mm-hmm. that you're in pain.
Because I don't know what to do with that.
Right. But yeah. instead, use it up as an opportunity, not punishing the child for expressing, not saying that you are, I'm saying in general, people mm-hmm. do this. Like, you know, if you cry, I'm going to punish you mm-hmm. or like, don't scream out loud, whatever, you know, all these things. So they learn over time to suppress. It might not be the most appropriate time for them to be expressing whatever that thing is.
Yeah.
But at home, you know, talking about it or saying, I'm glad that you expressed that. You know, it's good to get it out. How can I help you? Or, you know, things that are more of a conversation or mm-hmm. getting the child to understand that their feelings are valid and that their expression is needed and necessary and vital for their health and well-being. What you need to learn as a parent is how to sit with that, still stay in your own energy mm-hmm. while witnessing someone else in pain that yeah. you want to take away from yeah. them. Because one, you don't want them to hurt, but two, you don't want to hurt.
Yeah.
So it's being comfortable in the expression of whatever that is. It's really dropping your judgment of what's allowed versus what's not allowed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's getting comfortable with that in yourself too, practicing expressing and feeling all those feelings. And then that also, when you're comfortable with that, you feel very safe to a child because they're going to feel like no matter what, they can express and it's valid. Even if it, you know, it's temporary. Emotions are temporary. Like you'll express it and get it out and then be done with it. Like some of the most healing things are when you like cry it out. You're yeah. like, God, I feel so much better after. Yeah. Even if you didn't do anything to actually fix whatever the problem is.
Yeah.
It feels so much better. It's cathartic.
Or just saying it.
Exactly.
This happened to me today. I feel so mad.
Yeah.
And then you sort of almost feel like, oh, I don't know. Was I really that mad?
Right.
But now I feel better.
Well, and it helps when, you know, you might be feeling a certain way and you're not expressing and someone's like, hey, what's going on? even someone just acknowledging that, even if you don't tell them what's going on,
yeah,
you kind of just feel better
when they know that something's off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And care enough to,
they comfort you by just being present with you,
right?
Witnessing that with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we fear not being attached.
Yeah.
So, or connected. So if someone's saying, hey, what's going on? They're offering attachment and connection. So just knowing that you have that fundamental need met, you might not even have to express at that point. But the two fundamental needs are attachment and then the need to be authentic. So if you are not willing to be authentic, but someone is offering attachment and connection, that's half the battle.
Yeah.
But you need to, ultimately, you need to do both.
Yeah.
And also drop your attachment to others, really, as an adult, because you understand that the connection's always inside of you. That's a whole nother ballgame. It doesn't mean don't be social or, like, you know, connect with others.
No, but there is a centeredness and a groundedness that if you can get there,
yeah,
then the need, that incessant need,
right, is not so pungent.
Yeah, and I think if you grow up not feeling the attachment in the way that you want to, you find other ways to, like, create an attachment to things or distractions.
But as a child, you, the way to get your needs met was by attaching.
Yeah.
So that's why it's so vital for a child, because their attachment is outside of themselves to survive until they grow into an adult. But what we do is we're taught as children, you're not going to attach to me unless you suppress that emotion, because I'm not accepting of that emotion. So the child learns to suppress to be attached.
Yeah.
To and get that connection to get their needs met.
If that's, I perform this way, it's approved.
Right.
So I'm just going to keep doing that, even if it's not authentic.
Right, because now I can attach and get my needs met.
Yeah.
So, but as adults, we don't lose that program. We don't. We're not realizing that now we have the opportunity to meet our own needs.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to attach still to and win over approval of everyone by being nice, by you know, doing this, go along to get along, all those things. And then now we have physical manifestations of that energy that's just sitting and not going anywhere. It has to go somewhere.
It's true. And I think that point that you made about, like, when you now know how to provide for yourself, when you're feeling certain things, it probably, I assume, makes you a better partner to somebody else too.
Right.
Because if I'm only looking at my partner to attach to and to fix and to solve and to comfort, if I can't do that for myself, it's a very draining experience for someone else, and it makes them feel like I have to perform like this all the time so that she feels safe or she feels secure.
Right.
And so if you can find a way to lean on somebody and also stand on your own two feet.
Right.
And there's a balance there. Mm-hmm. You could still be vulnerable.
Right.
And open up and learn and grow together. Mm-hmm. But you also know you're good. I'm good. I know how to, I know what this is and I know where it came from. And I know how to, like, experience this in a new way. And I think that's a lot of, like, undoing the traumatic responses we've, and we all have trauma.
Right.
That we're trying to acknowledge and deal with and reduce those markers of, like, the stuff we do to avoid pain. That's keeping us from fully being in this moment.
Right.
Well,
it's not taking your, it's making your partner responsible for the way that you feel. That you want to take responsibility for how you feel. And, like, yes, we all have our own traumatic experiences or things that we're trying to work through. But the key is not making your partner responsible for that. You're taking ownership of it. So that means you have some more power over it and some more control over it, to you have an opportunity to do something about it, versus that power lying outside of you and now your partner holds that power over you to make you feel a certain way. That's not that partner's job. Your job is to feel that way regardless of what your partner's doing. But your partner's your biggest mirror. So like, if those triggers are going to come up, you know, and you're not going to like it, you're going to want to blame and point at, I don't like the mirror. But it's just a mirror.
You did that mirror.
You did that mirror. You showed me what I don't want to see.
Exactly.
Right? But the mirror is neutral. So you got to go in and say, okay, like, you can't just shatter the mirror.
No.
It's still inside of you. So, like, you
and another mirror is going to pop up. You can't escape them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's addressing those things, taking responsibility for that.
Hard stuff, hard shit to do.
Yeah, it's relationships.
Yes. Okay, I want to do kind of like a rapid fire.
Yeah.
So as a spiritual guide, in like kind of what we transitioned to talking about now, different than a ghost?
Yes. Yeah.
Because like to access that and to have that feeling of like, sometimes I do talk to her and I can hear, or I'll just be going about my day and I can hear her make a joke.
Yeah.
That like she's not here. Did I just invent that in my head? But it's like, no. I know exactly what she would have said in this moment.
So that's mediumship. So like you'll get wisps of it.
Yeah. That's what it feels like. A wisp.
Yeah. And it feels like it's your own thought almost, but you know, it's something, it's slightly tuned to a different frequency that you're like, okay, it's outside of you a little bit. It's slight.
Yeah.
So that's why I work with subtle frequency. You have to practice this so that you know the delineation between your own thoughts, your own body, your own energy, your own life versus something that's coming in. It's always when you're like, was that something? Yes. The answer is unequivocally yes.
Because I remember in our session, this is what blew me away. And what I try to tell people, like, I was not anticipating the medium component of our session. And then when we got in it and you were naming things, and I know everybody says this, but stuff I've never told you, stuff I only recently had found out, you knew, you could name it. You told me one of them was trying to show me something. I saw that something the next day, and it wasn't vague. It was absolutely specific.
Yeah.
And rocked my world. So like I believed before, but like after personally, like that is something I so envy. Like I wish I could just have that communication with my loved ones. And I'm like, you were gone too soon. I wish you were still here. I need you here. I miss you every day.
Right.
I wish I could tune in more to that communication. All right, next. So what do you fear? Or do you even bother with that?
Mondays.
Hell yeah.
No, but I mean, I do fear a lot of things because I'm trying to work on that actually. But your mind is like such a powerful thing that I'm fearful of my own mind sometimes because it's like if you think you know something, then you can manifest that thing and then create that thing.
And move into that direction.
It's exhausting. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, I do. I fear a lot of things, like snakes and, you know, alligators, all the things. I'm fearful of those
human things. Okay, speaking of animals, I want to talk to animals. I do talk to animals. I, like, ascribe voices to them, and I assume I know what they're saying back to me.
Yeah.
Are animals struggling with, like, I want to tell her to shut up and stop talking to me in that stupid voice?
No, the great thing about animals is that they're unconditional.
Thank God.
I know. They're so cute.
We don't deserve them.
We don't because they, well, when I say this, I'm meaning pets really, but I mean, animals in general are unconditional. So they don't really have judgment. They're here to like be. And so they teach us, they're mirrors for us. They teach us how to just be instead of like, they're not, like we're not supposed to be human doings. You know, like we're not supposed to just do. It's like we're supposed to be and enjoy. Yeah. And like if I want to sleep on a stoop for 7 hours.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to do. Yeah. You know, so but then when it's time to fight, it's time to fight. You know,
sure. Like,
so it's very interesting. Animals are so interesting because they provide such a service for us. It's unconditional love under no terms or conditions. Are they going to withhold love from you? I mean, of course, unless you like abuse them, they'll be afraid to love you.
Yeah.
But it's still unconditional because they want to so badly just offer, they're just love.
Yeah.
You know?
And so really going back to like what we were talking about earlier, put away the to-do list and just be, really that should be the aspiration is just do like my dog does.
Yeah, yeah.
Take a lot of naps.
Exactly. Yep.
Eat, drink, be happy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Love it. Is that it?
That's what I got.
That was good. I love it.
I mean, it definitely stirred up more for like volume two, but
I know.
But I have so much respect for you.
Oh, thank you.
And I just really enjoy our time together here on that Ask Amberly show, where everybody is the host.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Thank you for being here. We'll see you next time.
Yeah, she's gonna host now for the rest of time.
We're only Katie Rose's host.
Exactly.
No, this is awesome.
So funny. Thank you.
Yeah.
If you'd like to book a private session with me, you can go to amberlycarter.com/book or go to amberlycarter.com to download ebooks, webinar recordings, and more. You can also follow me on Instagram at Dr. Amberly Carter, DR period, Amberly Carter, for updates and more information. And you can also follow this podcast on Instagram at the Ask Amberly Show podcast. And a last minute treat. If you're looking to save on a vacation spot, come visit my hometown and stay at the Southern Hotel in Covington, Louisiana. The atmosphere is so calming, rejuvenating, and fun. And you can even get an in-person session with me while you're at it. It's one of my absolute favorite places in Covington. Use the promo code MANICURE to save 15% on your stay from now until December 30th, 2024. And make sure to look out for the fall issue of Manicure Magazine on October 1st. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoyed this episode.